I often hear people, even, you know, as I'm going through the mall or in the grocery store or somewhere, saying, God bless you, God bless you, right? And it usually occurs when somebody's sneezing, right? You know, and there's an old wives' tale associated with that. It was actually that basically when we sneeze, we're going to breathe out the bad, evil spirits inside of us, right? So if quickly somebody says, God bless you, then apparently it's supposed to fill you with God's spirit and the bad, evil spirits can't get back in. So we probably never even know that. We just go around saying, God bless you, right, when somebody sneezes. And it comes across sometimes very trivial, kind of like, God bless you, God bless you, right? I mean, it's not even really like, God bless you. You know what I mean? It's, you know, God bless you, God bless you. It's almost like kind of all run together like one little word, right? And it's kind of nice, right, to hear. I mean, it's kind of nice to think that maybe God's answering every single one of those, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, right? I mean, because then people might actually have more blessings than not, right? And the good news is that God does indeed bless us. In fact, his word to us is always one of blessing and promise. Now, we grow up sometimes with different theologies and understandings, and some of us think that we have to earn God's blessing. I don't know if you grew up in a home where that was the deal, or where works or things you do counted a whole lot towards whether or not God responded positively to you. And some people even think that God is reluctant to share blessings. But I'm going to take us earlier in the Gospel of Matthew to the chapter 5 that is most famous, actually, of Matthew, for it is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is delivering a sermon there, and there's a large crowd gathered. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the crowd. Oftentimes, Jesus spoke to, in the Bible, the Pharisees or the religious leaders or the people that made big decisions, right? And he sometimes was hard on them and actually called them not so nice names on many occasions. But the Sermon on the Mount was actually delivered to ordinary people. Kind of like you and me, right? I mean, some of them had some problems. Some of them had some sicknesses. Some of them had money troubles. Some of them had marital problem. I mean, you know the story, right? I mean, they were ordinary people. And do you know how Jesus opens up the Sermon on the Mount? God bless you. Of all the things to start his sermon with, it's unusual to me that he would choose to say that, right? But I don't know about you, but I think I could use a little bit of a blessing in my life. I mean, I could use an opportunity, right, to just be dancing, as the song said, right? Having opportunity to praise God and be happy and blissful and peaceful and easygoing, right? To be blessed. Could you use a little blessing in your life? Another translation often interprets it as happy, but I do want to encourage you that happy has a different meaning in most understandings of theology. Happy is something fleeting. In other words, we can be happy for a moment, right? You know, you can be happy when you fall in love. You can be happy when your baby's born healthy. You can be happy when your surgery is working well, or be happy when you meet a new friend, right? But real life means happiness, what? Comes and goes and ebbs and flows, right? But being in a state of blessedness or being thankful is a consistent way of being. I often wonder, who is it that receives God's blessings? I mean, if you were to describe to another person what one looked like, who God would bless, what happens? What is that person like? Well, Jesus teaches us that the very thing he says in the Sermon on the Mount, that sermon that he preached to the people, the ordinary people, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit? Who's that? I mean, I thought it would be the people that were all about the Spirit, right? I mean, you know, Jesus is working in me and you can see him and good fruits come from me. That's a sign of a blessed person, right? Who is a poor in spirit person? What is that? But have you ever met somebody who sort of knew that they had nothing really left to give? And they end up depending on God and grace in a way that teaches us humility and meekness. And certainly the poor in spirit would need to hear, "God bless you." You know who else he said should be blessed in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now, mourning can take on very different phases, right? I mean, right now I'm mourning the passing of my father, right? Which is normal. I mean, he just passed away, right? But you can also mourn the past, like decisions that you've made that were maybe not the right ones or the ones you wanted, maybe. And there are consequences for those decisions, right? And they hurt, and it's painful. And you can mourn the days gone by, right? We can be mournful for many different reasons. And if you carry a lot of that with you, you know, it can be baggage, and it can be tiresome and weary, right? And you of all people need to hear what? God bless you. May you be comforted by God's peace, right? May you be lifted up. May the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, be in you. Next, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Now, I love this, especially since we have a seminary intern who helps us, right, with missions and thinking about the needs of other. We should live our existence hungry for righteousness, for the whole of the world to have blessings, an abundance here on earth, right? To have enough food to eat, to have a house over their head, to have people that look out for them and care about them and remind them of God's promises, right? I mean, everyone in the world deserves to have that. And if we're not hungry and thirsty for righteousness, then maybe we don't need to hear, "May God bless you." He also talks about those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted. And we know all about those folks too. But I ask you, do you need to hear, "May God bless you"? All right, now I'm going to throw something out, just like I challenged the children, right? Are you blessed? Can you list 10 things that you are blessed with, that God has shown you his abundance and his graciousness and his reward? Can you list at least 10 blessings? Right? Well, I want you to live in those, and I want you to dwell in them, and I want you to be thankful and gracious and grateful in your existence. Because so many times I hear people say, "I will be happy when," right? Have you ever heard that phrase? Like, "When I have $1 million, right? I mean, there was a great song a number of years ago by the it was "If I Had $1 Million," right? I mean, have you guys ever heard that? And it was really funny anyway. He talks about, I always wanted a monkey, and if I had a monkey, I'd be happy. I thought that was a really funny part of the song. But anyway, you know, if we had $1 million, then we'd be happy, right? Some people say, "I'll be happy when I grow up and I get to leave my parents' house." Right, Brandon? Have you ever said that? "I'll be happy when..." Maybe? I don't know. Okay. All right. And then, "I'll be happy when summer comes," right? Because I hate school. I hate homework. I hate, you know, all the tediousness of tests and dressing every day for school and getting up early. Right, Nicholas? Oh, he's in class. Okay. Anyway, "I will be happy when I fall in love and get married," some people say, right? I mean, because that loving person is going to make everything wonderful, right? Those of you that are married, is that true? Is everything wonderful? Oh, look at them laughing. They're laughing. What about I'll be happy when I get promoted? I'll be happy when I get a new car. I'll be happy when I retire. Or I will be happy when they lay me to rest. When will you be living as a blessed person? What will it take? How long will it be? 1 month, 2 months, 3 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years? Well, Jesus actually has some wisdom for us on this subject, and he actually tells us to live sort of upside down, right? The world tells us that we're going to be happy with all those things, right? New car, new house, happy husband, happy kids, everything, right? I mean, the world tells us that all we have to do is have all this stuff, right? And then what? We'll be happy. And Jesus actually says, hey, you know what? If you have all that stuff, you're actually going to maybe miss it, because it's never enough, right? That's what Jesus says. It's never enough. So actually, you're going to be blessed when you're poor in spirit. Are you happy today? What brings you joy? When you get up in the morning, are you excited about life? Do you have the kind of joy that has staying power? Do you ever feel that you are blessed? You might be wondering why the scripture passage from Matthew was part of today's sermon, right? It's actually pretty important. For as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Remember the story? And we're not having communion today, so you'll have to imagine the loaf in front of me, right? But he blessed it. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus God on earth? Why did he have to bless the bread? It's kind of a weird question, right? And yet he blessed it and he broke it. And here's the question. What would the bread and the wine be without his blessing? It would just be bread and wine. Common elements, right? But we're studying words this Lenten season, right? So I'm going to give you a little bit of Greek, which maybe Grant and Connie might know more than me, but eulogio, is that pronounced correctly? Hopefully, I don't know. Anyway, eulogio, I think, actually. All right. Which might literally mean, okay, which is the translation of the Greek word, blessed, okay, to invoke God's blessing. And it also has, if you look at the, have you ever studied, like, taking apart words and where its history came from? If you take it apart, logos is in there. And does anybody know what logos means? Word, right? Okay. And who was Jesus? The word made flesh, right? So we have invoking the blessing of God and the word made flesh, which is Eucharistio, which comes from Eucharist. And the word Eucharist actually means, does anybody know? To be grateful. Okay, now, why does that all matter, right? Well, to be blessed has all that history in it, right? It has God's invoked blessing. It has word, which Jesus is the word incarnate. It has grateful. A blessing which is consecrated and set apart for a special purpose. We take part in the sacrament not because it's something we just do and we like grape juice and bread, right? Because it is a symbol that we are a blessed people who lives with Christ in us, dwelling and blessing us as we go about our way. I'm going to close with a story. It's actually kind of a weird story, but I think you'll get it. there was one time a news story where a woman who was getting ready to jump off a 44-story building in New York City had kind of lost her way. Witnesses said that she didn't look like the type of person who would do such a thing. She was distinguished and well-dressed. All the attempts that were made by police to get the woman off the ledge had failed. And one of the officers asked if he could call his pastor, right? I mean, what other option they have at that point, right? See if the pastor might help. So when the pastor arrives, the pastor asks permission to go to the ledge and talk to the woman. And as the pastor neared the edge, the woman screamed, "Don't come any closer or I'll jump." So the pastor took a step back and he said, I am sorry that you believe no one loves you. And this got the woman's attention, and it got the attention of the police, actually, because it was kind of an ironic thing to say. And that was something you don't usually say to somebody who's on a ledge, right? You know, I mean, I'm sorry that you don't believe anybody loves you. But the woman took a step towards the pastor, away from the ledge, mind you, and said, well, my grandchildren love me, and so do my children, and my whole family loves me. I have 8 wonderful grandchildren, and they all love me. And the pastor takes a step towards the woman. Well, then you must be very poor. Maybe that is why you want to take your own life. And the woman, who was a little overweight, said, do I look like I go without any meals? I look like I'm pretty full, don't you think? And I live in a very nice apartment, and I'm not poor. Well, the pastor took another step closer to her and was now 3 feet from her, and he asked, then why do you want to take your life? I don't understand. And the woman thought for a moment and then said, you know, I don't really know. And the story ends with the pastor and the woman walking towards the elevator as she shows some pictures of her grandchildren. And eventually this woman becomes a volunteer at a suicide hotline, helping others to choose life. Now, as ironic as the story is, I mean, and it's sort of a weird one, and it's not normally what I would say is a good example, but what did the pastor do to help the woman? He helped her to get her eyes off herself and all the pain and sorrow of life, and instead to look at how blessed and how rich her life was. She learned that a blessed people are a thankful people. And so I challenge you this morning, if you don't learn anything else today, learn that you are blessed for now and forevermore. Amen.